Hello and welcome to the Chillville Podcast, your weekly dose of all things money and financial in nature. I'm Leona.
And I'm Sujit. And welcome to this podcast where we take you on key elements of personal finance in this journey of learning and discovery. So today we are going to talk about something which is very essential when you are dealing in the big bad world of finance. And I term it as the big bad world of finance because while finance and the financial institutions and the markets at large are legal, regulated, and a safe place to store your money, with the advent of a lot of online tools and e-banking and net banking, this has given rise to a lot of unscrupulous group of people like hackers and people who manufacture cybersecurity threats. So today let's look at some interesting terms or terminology, as you may call it, in the world of fraud. So there are terms like phishing, farming and all that.
I think I've entered the wrong room. Are we talking about agriculture?
No.
Are we still talking about finance?
I assure you it's not agriculture. It's definitely finance. And this is not the fishing and farming that you're thinking about.
This is PH.
Yeah, this is fishing with a PH. That is P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, fishing. This fishing is nothing but you might receive an email or a message that prompts you to submit info such as usernames or passwords. It can come as form of an email or it can come in the form of an image which you can click and it takes you to an external website which looks very much like the bank's interface itself, and it'll ask you to type in the username and password. It might even look like your login portal, which is why most of the portals now, the legit portals, you should check two things: that they have an encrypted
So the HTTPS.
HTTPS or the lock symbol must be there. And secondly, most of the legit banks, they have actually they have now a facility where you can use something called a virtual keyboard.
Okay.
Now that keyboard, it eliminates the requirement of keying in your password. In fact, it encrypts the password straight away and shows it as black dots on the screen. Why? Because certain hackers, they have something called keystroke mappers.
Okay.
And that software is malware installed on your PC. It actually tracks the letters and whatever you have typed.
On the keyboard.
On the keyboard. So it can actually reverse.
Doesn't matter if the keyboard is within the laptop or it's like a standalone
Wherever the input comes from, it will map which keys they are. It can be refed into a software and it can unscramble it and tell them what is your password. So the virtual keyboard preempts that. It doesn't allow it to unscramble and for them to find out. So phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, is where you click on a link or you click on a picture or something like that, and it installs a keystroke mapper. It understands your password and then your identity is compromised. Sometimes it can be even when you click unwanted promotion ads or some kind of unscrupulous websites or something like that, and you go there, your website might be, your credentials might be exposed to certain hackers and certain groups. Many modern antivirus softwares now have malware softwares to detect this. But even then, it pays to be careful.
Yeah.
And you will save a lot of money rather than being a victim to all these kind of phishing scams. And it's very popular across the world. It happens everywhere in every country. So that is phishing. Now, in farming, what happens?
Even farming is with a PH.
Is with a PH, not F-A-R-M-I-N-G. In farming, what happens? Malicious code is installed on a personal computer or server which is meant to execute and then redirects you to a real looking fraudulent website of a particular banking entity or institution. So one way you can find out whether it's a farming website or not is to see whether the S is there in the
HTTPS. Yeah.
So that is one. And sometimes there will be some small changes in the website. The color scheme may not be exactly like the bank itself, or there may be spelling mistakes.
Yeah.
Like instead of a brand name with all same letters, it might be having one different letter instead of that. Think of it like some fake products you usually buy, like cheap imitation products.
How do you find it?
Same way there will be some. That is farming. Now there is another thing, is wishing. Wishing is by simulating a phone call. Like somebody impersonates your wife or your mother and calls up as your wife or mother and says that, you know, it's a joint account in our name.
I've been locked out of the account, and they simulate a baby crying in the background, and then they trick the phone person to actually
give out the details,
and then they mimic that, and eventually you will know that you have been locked out of your own account by a stranger. Which is why today now banks have an elaborate procedure where they actually ask you dummy secret questions. Like, do you have any auto loan with the bank?
Oh, okay.
But you don't have a car or any auto loan of any sort. But only you know that, right? The person who's trying to fool...
Unless the person has done some research.
Correct. But now even hackers are getting smart. They will check everything and...
Yeah, exactly.
So the idea is... Wishing and all, you can't really do anything because that is when you are sleeping.
It's out of your control.
Only thing you can do is as soon as you suspect something has happened, immediately notify the bank. Most of the banks have 24-hour call centers. If you are proactive rather than reactive, they will definitely refund your money. Beyond a point, it's also difficult to get back money that has gone away from your account. So act fast. Then the last one in the ING family is smishing. No. This is a family-friendly podcast, and it doesn't definitely involve any kind of kissing whatsoever. It's not that the hacker will take your money and give you a kiss and say thank you very much for giving your money or anything like that. But smishing is nothing but, this is phishing by text message.
Okay.
Now this, before it used to happen via SMS, but now hardly very few people use SMS.
Yeah, no one uses SMS anymore.
But there are people who are still sending via SMS and asking you to click on a link and it takes you somewhere and all that. That is one. But now there is also a lot of smishing going on using WhatsApp. And this is quite common, and I'd like to bring it to the attention of all of our listeners on the podcast, that invariably you will receive some sort of WhatsApp message that congratulations, you have won a lottery of millions of dirhams. And please send your Emirates ID copy and a code and call this number so we can give you further information about it or something like that. Never send your Emirates ID or something like that to some unauthorized WhatsApp people. It's very dangerous. Another kind of thing is most of these WhatsApp groups, they might be looking quite official. They will be carrying the UAE emblem and all those things. These are illegal accounts. Even UAE police and central bank has said that when you get SMS or any WhatsApp from this account, please take a screenshot and send it to us. We can investigate and shut down and stop that person from harming people.
Yep.
In the other variation of this, some guys will randomly call you. Hello, I am calling from XYZ company or from XYZ bank, and I want to inform you that your account has been blocked, or you have won this
yeah, and then please don't give your OTP or CVV or whatever.
To claim this, you need your OTP and the CVV and your registered details, and we will claim it for you and we will get it for you safely. Don't fall into all this. If somebody is giving you this kind of amazing news, I genuinely hope that all of our listeners win lotteries a lot, but proper lotteries. Nothing simply comes overnight. So be a little aware and alert and awake, because what is happening now is a lot of these kind of things are coming because people are actually falling prey to some kind of quick money. Like, people are very much thinking that something is going to happen and immediately I will get millions of dollars and I will be like Scrooge McDuck in DuckTales jumping into the safe with a lot of coins and all that. So that should not be your goal. If something sounds too good to be true, especially if you have won a lottery which you have not taken a ticket at all, then be very, very cautious. So these are the four kind of cousin brothers that you have in the ING family in terms of what kind of frauds can happen.
Yeah.
Then after that, you have another famous scam called the SIM swap scam.
So my SIM card.
Yeah. So what happens is, it ensures that it takes control of your SIM card via a duplicate SIM card arrangement and routes all the messages to that other fraudster's SIM.
Okay.
Like, you have a SIM card in your phone.
Hmm.
They will mimic or duplicate this particular SIM card which you have in your phone, and they will transfer it, the control of that, to another SIM card which they are having in another phone.
So maybe this is when you buy SIM cards from unauthorized.
No, it's not about buying SIM cards from unauthorized. Where this mainly happens is when you go and put your Emirates ID in these small vendors, not in the official
yeah.
telecom service provider shops,
yeah.
but in the small vendors, because they are just taking a photo of your ID and your SIM card and all those things. You never know who is going to misuse that data. So what happens is the SIM swap fraud is technically a type of account takeover that generally targets a weakness in the two-factor authentication system, basically with an OTP and with another code. That's why now most of the banks have made something called two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
You need your OTP also, and there is something called smart pass or physical verification.
Hmm.
You need to scan it and put that code in your mobile simultaneously, mm-hmm. then only it will authorize. This makes SIM swap fraud very difficult. But there are still some people, millennials not so much, but still some people who are not using smartphones to that extent. They have not installed net banking and all that. Very tragic, there was a case of a driver. He was a pickup driver a couple of months ago. He had his life savings put in one account. He doesn't have any credit card, only one single debit card. And somebody did this SIM swap fraud with him. He probably earns like 2,500 dirhams a month. He had around 100,000 dirhams in his bank account, which was his life savings. And he one day he went to his account and he needed to remit some money to his home country. Went to withdraw the 100,000 dirhams and he found there was 0 dirhams in that account.
Oh, and God.
Very sad. He was actually, you know, and the report came in Gulf News. He was sitting on the footpath and crying. And he's an illiterate guy. So he's like, I have not signed any form. I don't know how to sign also. And I don't know what is this SIM swap fraud, but I got the shock of my life when I went to withdraw money from my account and I found that there's no money in my account. And he's like, how can there be no money in my account? Because I never received any, SMS or any kind of intimation that somebody has withdrawn money or something. What has happened is certain fraudsters have changed the number even where he receives the SMS. So withdrawals have been made because there was a police complaint. He checked with the ATM records and with the bank records. It's like, okay, ATM withdrawals have been made. And what has happened is most of these withdrawals have been made using online channel.
Because ATMs have a camera over there.
Correct. So they have not actually gone and made withdrawals using a physical ATM. So they have gone and done bank transfers and all with access to his account and all that. So it's a long process. I do not know what has happened of the case now, but it is still possible using IP address and all. You can figure out where they are, and we are sufficiently advanced in cybersecurity. But the poor man, I am just thinking about the poor guy. Even if he gets his money back tomorrow, how long will he have to wait for it?
Yeah, exactly.
It happened to him. It can definitely happen to you and me. So you need to be very careful about what you do, and mainly, when you are doing internet banking transaction, do not keep other windows open.
Okay.
Other tabs open.
This is applied to the mobile app also. When you're using
mobile app also. Yeah, because any other tabs open, if they are not encrypted HTTPS tabs, any hacker can see whatever. In fact, some Chrome and Firefox and all also give you a message. Please be aware that the message you send over this website may not be encrypted. Have you seen that?
I've seen
you get a dialog box.
Yeah.
So that means that whatever you do, it can be seen by somebody if they want to see it. So the point is, you need to be very careful of what kind of websites you're opening and what kind of sites you're browsing when you're doing a banking transaction. Ideally, don't do anything else when you're doing a banking transaction. So this is the other type of fraud that you can look at. The last, and of course every day, I won't say last, because every day some new kind of fraud is coming. But as of today, what we know, in the famous ones that we know, the last type of fraud, and even Gulf News has had many articles about this as recent as last year and the current year also, is the fraud which involves something called a magic pen or a vanishing ink fraud.
Yeah, I've heard this.
You've heard this, right? So basically, they will come to you with a check in which the amount and other details are filled by somebody else, and they will insist that you sign using only this particular pen.
Mm.
Or there will be, the pen particularly has a kind of ink that disappears after 2 hours of use. So if you owe someone some money,
you'll end up giving.
And they fill in that amount of money,
yeah.
And you sign it with your normal pen. Okay, so your sign will not disappear after 2 hours. The vanishing ink amount will disappear after 2 hours. then he can fill in whatever amount he wants.
It's like giving a blank check to somebody.
Yeah, it's like giving a blank check to somebody. So you need to be very aware of what is this magic pen, and you can Google, you will find out what are the types of magic pens. So next time somebody...
Unless you sign with the same pen. Because sign will also disappear.
Yeah, of course. They will not. They will insist that you write the amount with this pen, but you can sign with an ordinary pen. So because they don't want your signature.
Yeah, so with Corona, just carry your own pens.
Yeah. Anyway, there's social distancing. So carry your own pens, do your own signatures and stuff like that. So these are the main types of frauds that you can find and ways in which people can do away with your money.
But with all these frauds, I mean, at the end of the day, there are ways to bypass it, and then the fraudster can still do what he intends to do.
Yes, but see, the fraud industry is extremely smart.
Hmm.
As much as we want to do and be careful and safe and all that, as we speak, even there are plenty of people who are...
Currently being scammed.
currently being scammed, and new methods are being evolved as well. We come to know this after somebody's been struck and the media covers it only.
Yeah.
As we speak, there are so many innovative methods which are being found out.
Yeah, I had heard something about this famous influencer who actually got jailed in Dubai. I can't recall his name at this point. But then he used to have multiple people giving giveaways.
Mm.
And then they used to get the details and transaction details from those giveaways
people register in. See, anything which has data, Leona, today, even a boarding pass. Like, I see some people do stupid things like scan your boarding pass and put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
like for what? Like, I don't understand, like...
I recall this really funny incident where there was this person who used to keep up giving updates of, you know, everything that's happening in the life, in her life, and she went for a vacation. And the person who was robbing her house knew exactly when she's leaving and when she's coming back.
The burglar will come and say, okay, thank you, now I broke into your house. And so that's why even Dubai police issued notification. Don't put unnecessary things on social media.
Your details,
You are inviting people to come and rob your house. Because not all houses have CCTV and all in Dubai. So police is like, if you fall into trouble, we are there to save you. But if you do stupid things, you are responsible. Like, don't expect us to, because now luckily there are a lot of community awareness initiatives. But still people, they are very attracted to Facebook and social media. Now, you must be aware that there are fines also by the Dubai government.
In that way, I'm really thankful to Dubai police, and because
they're creating awareness and they are doing their best to keep us safe. But if people don't follow the rules, then you can't really do anything, right? There is a point of enforcement beyond which you should not do anything.
But then there still might be some steps that we could probably take to, you know, avoid getting into all this. Like,
there are a couple of steps which I follow. I do not know whether this is an exhaustive enough list, but it has kept me safe so far. And by the way, this is not an invitation for any hackers to play around with my accounts. But I do these things as a regular discipline. First thing is that you should never use a username or a password which is related to your first name, last name, wife's first name, last name, child's first name, last name, mother's or father's first name or last name.
Or your middle name.
Or your middle name. Yeah, right. Or your telephone number or your flat number or something like that.
Mm.
Because most people use these combinations so that it's easy for them to remember. But you need to understand what is easy for you to remember is easy for other people also to remember. Okay, what happened, Leona? You are smiling.
Just continue. I'll change the passwords after this episode.
Okay, because I can see Leona smiling. It's like, my passwords are also the same. So maybe today
Okay, the users don't have to know. I will change them.
Okay, so the point is, never put commonly rememberable passwords or guessable passwords as part of your password or security thing. The second thing is, when you set security questions, some people put very simple questions.
What is your father's name?
Yeah, what is your father's name, or what is your favorite movie?
Your place of birth.
Your place of birth. Okay.
Keep stuff like, what was your first teacher's name? Because I don't remember either.
Yeah, but some people, what they do to complicate life, suppose like, who is your favorite actress will be the question. And they will put the answer as Jordan, okay, as the name of a country. They will try to be over smart and
Thinking when did Michael Jordan become an actress?
Yeah, so they will try to be over smart and put some kind of weird answer. Problem is, after some time, they won't remember that also. So you need to put something which you will remember. At the same time, it's not so complicated that even you will get locked out of your account.
So just, do you want to give us some examples of what answers you have to give?
Like, I wouldn't like to suggest, because then people looking in this podcast, they will go and hack the accounts of our listeners between each other. I wouldn't like to suggest it. But put something which you can easily remember. And whatever you do, never have a file on your computer which is an Excel sheet which contains all the usernames and passwords. Like some people...
Even though if it's password encrypted.
Even though it's password encrypted. Because Excel sheet password encryption is the easiest thing to break. It doesn't take more than 20 minutes.
It's so go and physically write it in a book and stack it somewhere in your third drawer of your cupboard.
Yeah. Don't keep... See, if you keep it everything in one place, it's very easy. I get the keys to that. Your whole empire is in my hand. So don't do that.
Or just don't become a hacker.
Yeah, but you have to be safe from hackers also. So that's the key thing. So number one, ensure that your username password are sanitized and not easily guessable. Ensure that your secret questions are memorable but not easily, guessable by any other people. Frequently change it once in 2 months or once in 3 months so people cannot keep guessing. Have a good mix of uppercase, lowercase, special characters, and some very complicated like 10 or 15 letters password, because that takes longer time to hack. Then, that is with regard to accounts. Also have two-factor verification set up on all of your accounts, which require a code to come to you anytime somebody is trying to access your accounts. I have set this up for all my accounts. So it's a bit cumbersome. You know how it is? Somebody tries to log into my account, even me. I have to enter my username, then my password. Then there's a 2 minutes timer.
Oh.
Okay. One code will go as an encrypted PDF file to my email, which I have to open with a password, which will come as an SMS to my mobile. And then I will get another, once I put the first password of the PDF file, I will get another OTP on my mobile. And all this process I have to complete within 2 minutes.
Hmm.
Okay.
But at least your money is safe.
Because of that headache, it's like I feel like I'm Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible trying to detonate something and get out of there safely. In 2 minutes, I have to do 4 procedures.
It's like you're in an escape room.
Yeah, so it's like I have to finish all this, log in, and then log out also. And even for transactions, you can set that up. Mm-hmm. Like transactions beyond 500 dirhams, I need all these things. So it's really painful for somebody to take money from your account without your permission.
Or you can also set up a limit. I've personally done this. I've set up a limit of how much I can transact. So sometimes
that you can do, but that is not very wise, because what happens when you set a standard sublimit, if an emergency comes and if it's not a banking hours time to change the limit later on and withdraw funds, it will take you at least 24 hours.
Yeah.
So rather than that, set up, probably rules and regulations which are at the micro level, so you don't get your liquidity stuck up if there's an emergency. That is with regards to the accounting interface. Now coming to the next financial discipline in terms of instruments, like all the checks. First of all, you remember, don't use vanishing ink or magic pen.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two is, when you write a check, before you start writing the check, in the corner, you always cross the check with 2 diagonal lines. Either you just cross it like that, or you cross it and put the thing account payee only in between the lines, which means it will only go to a registered account holding entity, even if it's a person or a company. Now, many banks have also come up with this rule that cash checks will not be accepted in the bank anymore. If at all they are accepted, they will be only accepted with a letter of attorney.
Okay.
Which means you will need to give power that the person holding the letter is an authorized representative
to encash this check
and receive the funds on my behalf. It's a legal transaction. Because otherwise, a lot of people used to be like drivers and agents and secretaries and all. They used to simply carry cash checks. Sometimes poor guy in the rush of everything, he loses one check leaf. It's lying there on the floor. Somebody comes and picks it up, takes it. It's 100,000 dirhams. How you will trace?
Yep.
It's money which is gone. So now the banks have become very strict that way. But otherwise, in general, always first discipline is cross the check. Second, put on the left side of the check leaf, there is a narration index. There you put the date and what is the purpose for which you issued the check, and the amount for which you use the check.
Yeah, we don't realize that importance of this, but later when you go
that
back and you see...
That counter foil is essential for tallying. And because you might not remember, but this will allow you to reconcile and keep track.
Yeah.
It's called the counter foil of the check. Nobody uses it that much because millennials, I don't think we use check it
check,
nowadays.
Yeah.
But if at all, you have to. Because even in accounts, there's a limit to which you can transact in a day. Check, there is no limit. How much ever funds you have in your account, you can write a check for the full amount, no problem. So larger amounts, you will need to use a check if you're not wire transferring.
And please don't bounce checks.
Yeah, and please don't bounce checks. It's a very cumbersome procedure. You can go to jail also. Don't do all these stunts. So first thing is to cross it. Second thing is to write the, if you can afford a check printer, get a check printer, print the amount on the check. Then nobody can play around with it. But if you're handwriting the check, make sure your letters are close to each other and there are no wide spaces between each word. Like if it is 100,000 only, 100.
But we're writing this in words, no?
Still, between your 100 and 1,000, I can put another 50, right? If there is enough space. So keep it close.
But then even, so if you double write the letter, apparently banks will reject the check. So
yeah, but there are skilled handwriting guys who can imitate your handwriting without double writing the check. It happens. I've seen it happen. And second important thing is when you write the amount on the right side, on the bottom, like 100,000 only, 100,000, after that last zero,
put a dash and a slash.
Put a slash and put a dash.
Yeah.
Correct. So nobody can fill in any amounts after that.
After that.
So these are very simple things you can ensure to confirm that your checks are safe. Because if you don't do this, what happens is you will invite many kind of fraudsters to misuse your checks. And checks are, by the way, the most misused instrument in this country. In fact, now banks have come with rules that you can only get a checkbook of X amount of leaves, which is directly proportional and correlated to your solvency.
Okay.
How much money you have in the account, you can get check leaves according to that only. Because otherwise, there was wanton issuing of checks without having money. Simply, I was playing around. And people will take that check and then discount it and play around left, right, and center. I'm talking about businesses more, not people. So that's that. I'd like also to share with you one interesting fact. Do you know which is the best color of ink to sign or write a check?
So there's black, blue, or red. Red, I don't think
black
we use.
Is there, blue is there, red is there, green is also there.
Yeah, green also.
And there are multicolors. There's orange, purple, whatever you want.
Please don't go with glitter pens.
Bank doesn't prohibit that. We don't like this color, this color. Bank only says whatever you write or sign, whichever ink you choose, it should not be vanishing in nature and it should be a color which is legible to the verifier of the check before he crosses it and gives you the money.
Mm-hmm.
So according to you, which is the best, safest kind of ink that you can use color-wise?
So I usually use whatever I've find at the moment. So it's either black or blue because those are the most common colors. But tell me which one should I use?
See, among the two colors, there are various forensic studies which have been carried out, and it says that blue ink and the creases and the indentations caused by a person's unique handwriting, blue ink in that regard, because of the smudge patterns and all that, is very hard to replicate with a computer software or duplicate even as an e-signature compared to black ink. Because black ink has jet black smooth lines, it can be replicated, copied or duplicated also. So in terms of signature forgery, blue is much safer if it's a ball pen, and black is very replicatable whether it is a blue ball pen or a fountain pen. So go with blue.
Okay, got it.
Blue is the safest. So I think with that, we can wrap up our episode for today. Which is your favorite color? Blue. Which is the safest color? Blue.
Very interesting topics covered today. Fishing.
And yeah, we talked
farming,
about agriculture, moving to finance. And then Leona had her adults only moment in the episode in terms of smishing or smooshing.
My dad's going to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, so some kind of dilemma there. That's good as a millennial to have all those dilemmas. So I think we covered fair ground today. Until we meet in a further episode with more bites of knowledge, this is Sujit Sukumaran signing off.
And this is Leona signing off.
Stay safe, take care, and have a financially prosperous days and weeks to come. Thank you.